Hello and welcome to Core Women. My name is Dr. Summer Watson, and I'm the founder of Core Women, and I'm also an empowerment strategist for women. So if you're listening to this podcast to delve more into empowerment strategies, well, you're here for the right reason. However, Core Women was also developed because it's a special place that provides a unique idea of home for the hearts and souls of women. It's a place for us to share our strength, energy, wisdom, and authenticity. It's a place for women to find support and strategic empowerment ideas that will help support their lives. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Erin Sanchez of Candidly Erin. Erin is a writer, storyteller, and business coach with a little bit of sass and a whole lot of tenacity. Her mission is to help entrepreneurs get visible, credible, and memorable online so that they can explode their brands and their bank accounts without the 24/7 hustle. Let's get right into talking about your journey, Erin, and welcome.
Thank you so much, Summer. I feel like I'm on, I don't know if you ever watched the show Frasier, but I feel like I'm on Frasier right now, which I love because
I love that show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about your journey, Erin, and where your love for business and consumer psychology came from.
Yeah. So it's kind of a cliche story, but it's truly one of those. Ever since I was little, I knew I wanted to be a writer. I was very entrepreneurial. I grew up in a really small town and, you know, there's not a lot to do besides play outside, which was great. But in the winters, you know, I was inside and my mom kind of just let us have free creative range of everything, right? And bought us craft supplies and all that. So I started really early on, like designing businesses of all things. I mean, I was probably 7 or 8 years old and I had a restaurant idea and I would create flyers for it. And so it kind of really started with that. And I knew I wanted to be, I never had that. I want to be a, you know, blank when I grow up. It was like, I want to do all these things and I have all this creativity and all these ideas. And as I grew up, you know, it was just like the best way to do that is to be entrepreneurial because you can design your business any way you want. So it's just kind of always been a natural progression.
Okay. Okay. So describe how you started Candidly Erin, and also describe some of the challenges that you might have overcome in the development of your business as a coach, as a business coach.
Yeah. So I started about almost 4 years ago now as a freelancer because I worked in, so I can make this story as long or as short as we need it to be, but I'll kind of go right in the middle. But, you know, I worked in the traditional 9-to-5 for a long time. I did a very non-traditional educational route just because of my upbringing. And so I had to, you know, take breaks from college and work my way through and pay for it that way. So I did the 9-to-5 thing off and on, but I always was looking for like an escape, right? And I was, you know, I went back to grad school basically as a way to just get out of the 9-to-5. And then I came out of grad and I went back into the 9-to-5 and I was just like, this is not for me. I know that I can't keep going back and like, is the PhD next and what after that, you know? So I decided it was time and I started researching, and I had been actually researching for quite a long time about freelance writing and just how to start your own business. But I was a procrastinator. And I say that in past tense, but I still am. It's an ongoing battle, but I've gotten better. So I started, really just looking into what, you know, what it takes to start your own business. And I just started kind of hustling in my own personal network. So I didn't even start with any of the, you know, the fancy online marketing, you know, tools and systems, which is one of the things I like to drill into my clients' heads now is like, you don't need, you know, you can start it really simple. So I started researching, you know, and I reached out to my network and I didn't even have that big of a network. And I said, you know, hey, I want to start offering freelance services, copywriting, you know, cause I had some experience doing that. And I got my first client and from there, I just ran with it. I don't recommend people just quit their jobs without like a longer term plan and the savings, but I was just desperate. And so I quit my job. I had one client and after that, you know, it freed up my time and I had the income coming in and I I started running with it and getting more clients. And so that was on the freelance side and really just, you know, trading hours for dollars and that whole deal. And then just about a year and a half ago, I had been getting a lot of questions from people, you know, how do you do what you do? How did you make the leap? And, you know, how did you start a business? And I want to work from home. And so I kind of started mentoring people in that way. And it just sort of naturally moved into coaching. And that's when I decided, you know, I want to start a blog. I want to start creating resources and a way for people to learn those things that it took me a really, really long time piecing together, you know, on the internet, right, and books and things like that. So that's what really started my coaching career and kind of how I now teach other people how to market themselves and get clients. It's just such a critical piece of the business puzzle that there's a lot of fear around it. So, yeah, that's how that started. And then you asked me what was like a challenge, right, in the development. You know, for me, it was definitely, I mean, it's always around fear or imposter syndrome. So I've done a lot of writing on imposter syndrome. It's something that I feel like you face at every single level. You know, it was in grad school, it was, am I, you know, do I belong here? Am I smart enough? And then, you know, in business, it's starting out, well, what do I have to offer? And then, you know, you get your first clients and there's just always a new level of imposter syndrome. So with the coaching, I was like, what, who would pay me to just teach them how to do this, right? So that was a huge struggle for me. And honestly, one of the best things I did, which it just sounds so funny, but I was like, I need to hire a coach myself so that I really, truly believe in this model. Or maybe it's going to show me that I don't. And I think it's BS, you know? Right. So I hired a coach and it was amazing. You know, it was just this eye-opening experience. And I was like, okay, I get it. I get this. And now, you know, that kind of helped me not only see the value truly of coaching, but also, I mean, this not to sound, I don't know if this sounds like I don't want to sound arrogant, but I was like, oh, I can do this. You know what she's doing, I can do this. So it kind of helped with that imposter syndrome piece.
Absolutely. So why don't you, since you do write about imposter syndrome, why don't you give us an explanation of what that is exactly in somewhat of a nutshell?
Yeah. The way I look at imposter syndrome is that you just feel like you can never live up or you don't belong. So grad school is just one of the most common examples, I think, because so many people go through imposter syndrome in grad school. So it's like, you know, you join, you get accepted into the cohort and, you know, you're looking around and you're like, oh, they must have made a mistake, you know, or I tricked them into thinking I'm smarter than I am and I don't belong here. And so you just feel like this entire time you're an imposter, but all the people around you, they do belong there. They're smart. They get it. They're not having, you know, self-doubt and dealing with those challenges. So that's how I look at imposter syndrome. I don't know what the clinical definition is, but. Well,
and I think that you really did sum that up nicely because really it's just, you know, it's a somewhat of a phenomenon of, you know, thinking that, you know, you're somewhat of a fraud almost. Like, are you capable of doing this? Do you have the skill set to do this? Are you just, you know, winging it until you make it, so to speak? And I think that you put it in great terms. So I think you did wrap that up very nicely. And I think that many of us go through that. I mean, I, taking myself back, you know, and going to UC Berkeley and getting into that school and just being surrounded by all these folks that were top notch. And I'm thinking, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm, you know? Exactly.
How did I get here? But then you realize, okay, you can do this. Just like you realize that you can do this. You went through your own coaching. You helped yourself through some self-development. And you thought, you know what? I can do this. I can do this too. And that's exciting. You know, we're always going to have a little bit of self-doubt. And again, we go back to fear, right? But again, we remind ourselves, we can do this. And I think that, you know, those are some great words of wisdom because this is exactly what this platform is about, is reminding people, hey, we're here to support each other and we can do this together. You know, we can do this alone and we can also do this together and learn from one another. So great words of wisdom. So thank you for that.
Thank you. No, and that's one of the reasons I just love what you do, because I, you know, one of the challenges for everybody in business and in life, but I think especially for women, because I don't quote me on this, but I've read that statistically speaking, like, women experience more imposter syndrome than men, right? So we need this constant, like, you know, we have to constantly be battling that fear and not enoughness. So, and I love that you said, you know, fraud, that's the perfect way, you know, you just feel like a fraud.
Right. And we're absolutely not in, you know, it was so funny because one of the things that I really truly believe in is, you know, first of all, you know, this podcast is about giving back to the community of women. And, you know, really being able to nurture each other, right? But I also believe in giving back to community in general and having interns where when they are in school, in undergrad or at a master's level, making sure that, you know, I provide some type of internship so when they go out into the world, they don't feel so green. They know actually some, they have or possess some practical skills now that they can utilize in their field so that they're not feeling or battling this, you know, the syndrome, so to speak. So
I love that. And my internship was the most, that's what I always tell students as well. I'm like, get an internship. It will change your life. I love that.
Absolutely. I think it's so important. So going back to our discussion, if someone were to come to seek your help or your support as a coach, what might be the first question that you ask them outside of their name?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's always about, you know, goals, what they want to accomplish and sort of their vision. But a really great way to ask that is because people get overwhelmed when you're like, what do you want to accomplish? What's your, you know, your business vision? They're like, I don't know. I don't even, you know, I don't know what I want and I don't know what it looks like. Is to just ask them that question of, if you had a magic wand, like, what would your ideal life look like? What would your ideal day look like? And how would you spend your time? So that gives me a really good idea of, you know, if they are in it for, you know, if they have the vision, because I think you have to have the vision. I mean, you can definitely work on the vision on your own, right? But at the level that I work with people, it's, they already have the vision, they have the drive, and they just need guidance to get there.
Right. And some people, you know, they have the drive, but they just need, you know, a roadmap.
Yes.
And so to create a roadmap with somebody is a really interesting experience, because the way their road looks and the way that what they're perceiving as to how to get somewhere might be very different than what a coach might, you know, kind of guide them in, like, different directions maybe, but still keep that vision.
Exactly. Oh, that's such a great point, because so many people come to you saying, you know, so-and-so does it this way, you know, or I see these Facebook ads and, you know, I know that's what I have to do. And it's just not true. You know, there's so many different ways to get there. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, really drilling it into people's heads that there's so many different paths to reaching a vision. And it's not just what someone else is doing, but it's what fits your personal style, right? Your communication style, right? What you enjoy doing, because there's no point in running Facebook ads if you hate them, like if you hate that platform, right?
Exactly.
And also, you know, fitting their financial situation, because Facebook ads is not the cheapest way to get started, right?
Absolutely.
So I love that question.
And I think you made a good point earlier about when you have a vision, you may not like to do the marketing ads on Facebook. You may not. So you're going to create something that really is your own, that you can call your own. And one of the things that I was doing with my coach last week was talking about my spiel, you know, and what I do. And he's like, this is, you know, this is about you and defining your own rules. And that's exactly what it is for me. It's like, mm-hmm. We have rules that we live by in society. Okay, that's a given. But when it comes to my business, I certainly am going to define the rules as to how I approach, you know, other businesses, how I approach individuals, how I approach the people that I coach. So I think there's a lot that goes into just starting a business, understanding it, having the having the courage to start one and knowing that every day is going to be something new and different, but it's something that you've created. And I think that's what, you know, I really appreciate about what you do, because your depth of knowledge regarding business and then the consumer psychology component of that, you know, is interesting. And so will we get more of that, Erin, in your Candidly Erin writing?
Yeah, definitely. So on my blog, so far, I've been writing a lot more tactical kind of, you know, how-to stuff. That's really what gets picked up well on blogs, because, you know, a lot of the time people just want to kind of skim and learn how to do something. But that being said, I'm always gravitating toward writing about sort of like the fear and the mindset stuff. And, you know, the consumer psychology piece is something that I keep going, oh, I need to dive into that because I love writing about it so much. But in a sense, how I incorporate that is like in the how-to, it's more like what is driving people to, you know, click that email subject line, right? And so that's kind of how I incorporate the consumer psychology piece. But I'm doing more pitching for guest blogging and writing, and I've been published in several places already, but I'm kind of trying to, you know, expand my reach. And I actually just got invited to be an author for Social Media Examiner, which is huge. So I'm very excited about that. And I think that's going to be a place where I can definitely dive more into the consumer psychology piece.
Awesome. And you're still taking new clients for coaching, correct?
I am. I only work with a few at a time because it is a very high touch sort of white glove service. So I generally try to keep it to 3 or 4 clients at a time. And I only offer, for coaching, I only offer one signature program. It's a 4-month program, and we get on the phone every week, and I, you know, provide email support and communication support through like an app, you know, just to kind of talk back and forth without getting on a phone call.
Right.
I review marketing materials and writing and things like that. So it's very, you know, intensive and high touch. And so, I only work with a couple. I do have a couple of spots coming open, but yeah.
Okay, great. Good to know. Thank you so much. So if you were to leave the listeners with some words of wisdom, what would you say to the folks listening today?
I always have to go with the cliche, but I mean, you know, once you're in this space, like everything kind of becomes a cliche, but there's a couple of things I would say. One is just really about that fear and procrastination piece. I love the quote, and I think I have it on my website, leap and grow wings on the way down, because I think so many people like myself get ready, you know, right. And then they never really take that important action step that's like stepping outside the comfort zone, which is what you really have to do if you want to, you know, move the needle on your business. And then the other one that I really like to drive home, and I talk about this all the time because a lot of what I do is personal branding, you know, it's building your brand online and getting visible and, you know, building some authority and whatnot for yourself. So the other thing that people, and I went through the same thing, so it's easy to preach about, right? But is just embracing your unique you-ness, right? Like you have to just be you. Don't hold back. You know what, if you're crazy, if you're, you know, dancing all the time, if you're loud and people are like, oh, you know, you've been told you're too much, or you're really shy and you're a bookworm and people are like, you know, you need to get out more or whatever. No, you need to be exactly who you are, because there are a lot of other people in the world who are just like that. And that's going to be your tribe. And so you don't want to put on a facade and be someone that you're not and kind of build your brand on that, because you're not going to enjoy yourself, you know, and you're not going to be authentic to you or to the people that you are touching. So.
Well, I love that. And those are great words of wisdom. I truly believe in what you're saying, and it really resonates with me in that, you know, you have to be who you are, because who you are is exactly what people want to know. They want your authentic you, you know, they don't want to know this mask of somebody else. So yes, absolutely. Authenticity is key, because we can smell somebody who is inauthentic a mile away, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So thank you so much for being on my show today. I really appreciate it, Erin.
Oh, thank you for having me. I was so excited when I learned about what you do and when you invited me to be on. So thank you. I had such a great time.
Thanks so much. So if you need a strategic empowerment coach, contact me. If you want to tell your story of empowerment or how you have reconstructed your life to drive change, send me a video or an email of your story, providing permission to use it on my social media platforms. If you want to be featured on my podcast, reach out to me at info@corewomen.com. I want to hear from you and get to know you. You are now part of the Core Women home. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn from one another. Please follow Core Women on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please let your women friends know about this podcast. If you write about Core Women in your social media posts, please hashtag Core Women. This is all about women. If you would like to know more about Erin, please go to her Candidly Erin Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook pages. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Core Women, and please stay tuned for continued growth of the Core Women movement. Let's grow and drive change together.